Let's open our Bibles this morning, please, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, for the message this morning. How many of you who were unable to get to church in the last couple of weeks watched the services on the internet? Did you do that? Isn't that neat? Now, don't get into the habit of doing that. All right? I'll pull the plug on that puppy real quick. But that is a tremendous tool. And we are finding people all over the world are finding our website and coming to church with us on Sundays and on Wednesday nights. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it when you're incapacitated or cannot get to church, but it's not a substitute for the real thing. The writer of Hebrews said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And you very well can't assemble in front of your computer screen. So, with the brethren anyway. So, anyway, I'm glad that you have that tool. All right, Luke chapter 5. One of the first sermons that I ever preached when I became a pastor, I was 22 years old, and one of the first sermons that I ever preached was from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And I'm going to be honest with you, I have not preached on it since. I've not for one reason. Look at verse 4, the last word in the verse. You see that word? All right, now how in the world do you pronounce that? No. Draft. It is pronounced draft. Now I know because this last week I read this passage of Scripture and saw a message in my head. And so I thought, well, the last time I preached on this, I said this word draught, and everybody laughed. And I don't like it when people laugh at me when I'm trying to be serious anyway. And so I just never have preached on it again. So I looked the word up to make sure that nobody would laugh at me this morning. And the word means to draw out, to pull out, to pull something out. All right, so, and it's pronounced draft, believe it or not. Now, we don't use that word with any regularity, and so most of us are sitting here going, I don't know how you pronounce it either, Pastor. Well, I looked it up, and it's draft. So no giggling when I read verse 4, okay? Let's begin in verse 1, and let me read you the story, and then we will see what the Lord has for us this morning. Beginning in verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, the Lake of Gennesaret is the Sea of Galilee, just so you know. The Sea of Galilee. This is where much of our Lord's ministry took place, around the Sea of Galilee. Verse 2, and saw two ships. Notice two boats, two fishing boats, standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now, that sermon that I preached years ago was entitled, Washing Your Net. And it, you know, the net is, that's the business end of a fisherman. If he doesn't take care of his net, he's not going to catch fish. All right, so that was how I used it that time. Verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, Simon Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners. Remember, there were two boats. Remember that? There were two boats. So one belonged to Simon Peter and Andrew. The other belonged, we're going to see in verse 10, to James and John. All right, so they beckoned, verse 7, unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Filled them with what? Fish. All right? Filled them with fish. Remember, they had so many in the net that the net, their net was breaking. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want to entitle the message this morning, Fishers of Men. Fishers of Men. This is the call of Peter and James and Andrew and John into discipleship, into the ministry. It is right here where these four gave up fishing, said, no more, we're going to follow the Lord. And their career ended, and they took the responsibility of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And the rest is history. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then we will look at these verses. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible. And Father, in the Word of God are eternal truths that can shape and mold and fashion our lives more into the image of your dear Son. And so, Lord, I pray today that you will bless as we look at this passage of Scripture, as we apply the truths that are here. May they lodge in our hearts. May they make a difference in our walk with you. Father, I pray that you will fill me with the Spirit of God this morning. I pray that you will help me to say what I need to say. I've got a lot of sermon and a limited amount of time, so help me to condense things and say what needs to be said. And Lord, may it make a difference. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. You know, as I read the four Gospels, it seems to me that it was very difficult for the Lord Jesus to ever be alone once he started his earthly ministry. When you read the Gospels, you see that there were always people looking for Jesus. They were always around. They were so eager. They were so curious. And they were always coming to him for one reason or another. They crowded around him in the little villages and towns where he visited. They followed him when he left one town to go to another. Huge groups of people were following his after him. They just didn't want to let him go, hoping that they might see him perform some miracle, or maybe someone would bring some sick person and he would miraculously heal them of their disease. Or maybe he would stop and speak, and they would have the luxury of being able to sit and listen to the wonderful things of God and his deep understanding of the Word. And so they hung on every word that he spoke. Even when he tried to slip away and go up into the mountains or into the hills to pray or to rest. They watched him and rarely even let him out of their sight. Now, this chapter that I read for you, beginning in verse 1 through verse 11, begins much the same way as I just described. There is a large crowd of people who have gathered and they're following him along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. They are anxious to hear what he has to say. And because of the crowd, the Lord Jesus stopped, stepped into a boat that belonged to Simon Peter. Peter and Andrew were off to the side of the boat, and they were washing their nets. They had been out fishing all night long, and now with the sun coming up and the day beginning, they were washing their nets before they went to rest in order to go out and fish again the next evening, probably. And so Jesus steps into a boat that belonged to Peter and pushed away from the shore just a little, and then sat down and taught the people who had gathered along the shore. I think it's an interesting study, and I would encourage you to look for this as you read the Gospels, to note the different and strange things that the Lord Jesus used as a pulpit during his ministry. I think you'll be fascinated at some of the things that he used. Well, when the service when the sermon was over, the Lord Jesus was no doubt tired, no doubt weary, no doubt hungry. Yet what did he do? Did he ask for something to drink? No. Did he excuse himself and say that he just needed to get alone and rest for a little while or maybe get a bite to eat for lunch? No, no. Immediately, he turned to Peter, in whose boat he was sitting, and he said to him, "Peter, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep." Now, what did he mean by that? He meant row this boat out into the deep water. Row out into the deep water. Now, I can just imagine Peter and Andrew and James and John, they'd been out fishing all night long. They had been laboring all night long. And I just doubt very seriously if Peter was much up to the idea of rowing back out into the midst of the Sea of Galilee. He probably was thinking, "Man, I sure could use some breakfast and a good 8 hours of sleep." But nonetheless, at thy word, because the Lord asked him to do it, Peter did it. No doubt he was surprised. But when the master asks you to do something, you best do it. And so he did what the Lord asked him to do. And he said, "At thy word, I will launch out." And so they launched out, and the Lord then told him, "Drop your net." Now again, I think it probably flashed into Peter's mind, "Wait a minute, Lord, we were out here all night long. We cast these nets hundreds of times, never caught one single fish. But at thy word," and so Peter drops the net down, and when he did, a miracle occurred, and they caught more fish than they'd ever imagined they could catch. As a matter of fact, they caught so many fish that as they were dragging the nets back in the boat, the nets started to break. Their net was breaking, and they had to call James and John, who were in the sister boat, and they had to row over alongside of them and help them get all the fish that they had netted into the boat. And Peter realized that what he and the others had just witnessed was a miracle, and they cried out for the Lord to forgive them for being such sinners and doubting their Lord's words. And the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." And it is here that these four disciples, these four men, were called into service and and joined up with the Lord Jesus. And even after the Lord ascended to heaven, they carried on his ministry and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus until death came. They gave up fishing for fish and started following the Savior, fishing for men, fishing for souls. Now, that's the story. And there are so many wonderful truths connected to this passage of Scripture. I want to pull four things out and apply them to each of our hearts this morning. Things that I hope will challenge you in this new year. Things that will challenge you for service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Four things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to notice with me that it was in the deep waters that the draught of fishes were taken. It was in the deep waters that the draught of fishes were taken. I want you to notice that little tidbit of information. It was not in the shallows. It was not in along the shoreline, but it was in the deep water. The first word that of the Lord here to Peter was launch out into the deep. Folks, if the nets were to be filled with fish that morning, the first requirement was to leave the shore and leave the shallows and row out into the deep water. Now, you got to realize that with the Lord, every miracle that he did was an acted out parable. Every miracle he did had a spiritual significance to it. There was a meaning behind it. There were messages in it, little pictures that were full of application, which they were to take from everything that happened along the way. And Peter had to simply do what the Lord asked if he was going to enjoy his blessing. I think that's probably the main thing Peter got out of it. I just have to do what the Lord asked me to do, and then I'll get the blessing out of it. And we all know that they had been out all night fishing, but not catching anything. We all know that that the boat was tied up at the shore, and had they stayed at the shoreline, they weren't going to catch anything. They had to leave the comfort and the safety of the shore if they are going to get their nets full. And so that's what they did. And so that started me thinking, how many Christians want to stay on the shore, as it were, stay in the comfort zone, and never launch out into the deep? How many? How many folks are content with Sunday morning only, and they're content with token service to the Lord? Folks, listen, it's when we launch out into the deeps of trust, it is when we obey the word of the Lord and get out of that, get away from the shoreline and get out into the deeps with the Lord, it is then that we will see a full net for the Lord. I was watching a program this last week on Animal Planet or one of those. I'll tell you who it was. It's that guy that fishes for river monsters. I was watching that guy and his program, I think it was last Monday night maybe, and he was down in an island in the South Pacific. And he was going down there to catch fish with sharks with a hand line. Woohoo! Crazy. But I was watching it because he went to this island and these people have no electricity. Now you fathom that. I like electricity, don't you? I kind of enjoy electricity. And these people had no electricity and didn't seem to miss it. And the fascinating thing about this, these people was this. Everything they depended on, they got from the sea. Everything they needed for existence, they got from the sea. Every day they would go out into the sea around their island and they would take from the sea the things they needed to sustain life. Now, I want you to think for a moment of yourself upon life's sea. It is when we launch out into the deep of life's sea that we find a harvest of joy and peace and increasing insight to spiritual things. When we launch out into the deep with the Lord, that's where we're going to find true joy and true spiritual happiness and true spiritual insight. Folks on the shore are never going to enjoy a net full of God's provision. Folks, we've got to launch out. And if we launch out, I mean, just make up your mind that in 2014, you're going to launch out from the shore. You're going to go out into the deeps with God. You're going to get out and serve the Lord and do His will and be in church and be in your Bible and grow and learn the things of God. And if you will do that, you will put yourself in a place where you can enjoy the overflowing of God's blessings. That's exactly what happened with these disciples. And it's then where we learn that the deep waters are not so bad after all. You know, we think of deep waters, and when we think of deep waters, difficulty and hard times and trouble flash into our minds. But when we launch out into the deep waters with the Lord in the boat with us, then even the deep waters are not a problem because the Lord is with us. And we will find our nets full. It makes it a whole lot easier to deal with the pressures and the trials and the problems of life when you've got the Lord in the boat with you. So using the picture of deep waters, we think of them as difficulty, as hard times. Well, listen, when the Lord's there, it's not a problem. Launch out, Christian, and watch the Lord bless your life in ways that you never thought possible before. That's what Peter and Andrew and James and John found out. They've been out there fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing. But with the Lord in the boat, they got all they could handle. And folks, it'll be the same with us when we launch out into the deep with the Lord. Second thing I want you to notice, I want you to see here that God's gifts, excuse me, God's gifts may cause some disorder at the beginning. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. Remember, they'd been out there all night fishing, hadn't caught a thing. So you can probably imagine that they did not think they were going to catch anything this time. But when they obeyed the word of the Lord and let down their net was full. And folks, you can be sure that the net that Peter was using was a good net. Peter was a fisherman. He probably made this net himself. And you know that a fisherman's net is his life's blood. If the net is not right, he's not going to be successful. The net has to do the job. And so you can be assured that this net was a good one and that it was capable of doing the job that Peter wanted it to do. But in a moment's time, the net was so full they couldn't lift it out of the water. And Peter and James and John had to be called to come alongside in another boat. They rowed alongside, and then all eight arms got a hold of the net and started to pull and help them get the net that was breaking because it was so full of fish, helped them get the net into the boat. And when it was all said and done, they had so many fish that both boats were filled with fish and the weight was sinking the boat. Amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. But there's something I want you to see here. What the Lord did here when He entered into Peter and Andrew's boat, really, when you think about it, was startling. What did He do? Well, number one, He broke their nets. Hey, you don't mess with a fisherman's net. They broke his net. Can you imagine that? And not only did the Lord break their nets, secondly, he almost sunk their ships. Out in the deep water, folks. I'm sure that Peter and John and Andrew and James were all standing around going, wait a minute, we didn't bargain for this. Disorder. Things just didn't quite go the way they thought. And now, what's the point? The point is, folks, when you come to Christ, there just might be, at first, some trouble. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, it is possible that there you get saved and you start living for God. There just might be a little distress come your way, a little confusion, maybe a little disorder like the disciples had to deal with here. I mean, you just might have to change a few things about the way you've been living. Huh? You see, the way you have been going, the way of the world, the way of sin, is contrary to the way of God and the way of His Word. And so you're going to see a little disorder, a little conflict there. I mean, you come to Christ, you just may have to take examination of what you've been watching on that television set. You just may have to stop and think about what you've been listening to on your iPod. You just may have to learn how to speak without cursing. Oh, you'd be surprised the number of people that get saved, and then about 6 weeks after they get saved, they make an appointment to see me, and they come in and sit down and say, Pastor, I really don't know how to say this to you. I'm just going to come right out and say it. I'm having the hardest time stopping foul language from coming out of my mouth. You just might need to learn how to speak again. You know, any idiot can curse. But it takes a little thought to express yourself without cursing. But when you've had a lifetime of cursing, you got to change that when you get saved. That's not honoring to God. You might have to give up that alcohol. You know, no might about it. You're going to have to give up that alcohol. You say, well, I can drink and be saved. Yeah, go ahead. But you're not going to get out in the deep. I can guarantee you that. You're going to stay on the shore as long as you got that glass of wine in your hands. The simple things that like that can cause disorder and problems at the beginning of your Christian life. Let me give you an illustration to explain this. When I was pastoring down in West Virginia at Twin City, there was a fellow came to church, and his family, his wife and his three kids, they had two, 10, 9, then they had a little toddler. They came in, sat down over on my left, and I preached the message that morning, and they looked as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. I mean, they had just absolutely no idea what was going on. And I preached the message, and they just would look at one another like, are you getting any of this? And they weren't, and I knew they weren't, but I couldn't do anything about it. I went Tuesday night, took up one of my staff members, and we went and knocked on their door, and they invited us in, and we went in and sat down and talked for a little while, and they had come from no church background at all, but felt that they needed to get their kids in church, so they came. And I said, well, let me ask you. I said, did you have any understanding of what was going on Sunday? And they both looked at one another and then looked at me and said, no. No, no clue. And I said, let's start at the beginning of this thing. And they said, well, that sounds good. And I said, I got my New Testament here. I said, let's just start at the beginning. And so I took the Bible, the book of Romans, and led them to Christ. The mom, the dad, and the two older kids, just led them all to Christ. The following Sunday, they came to church and came forward to make a public profession of their faith. And we started talking, and I said, by the way, I forgot to ask you, what do you do for a living? He said, well, I am a delivery man. I drive a truck for Anheuser-Busch. And I tried not to react. I tried. I'm not sure I did a good enough job. But I tried not to react and tried to change the subject. And about 2 weeks later, they came back to church. And during the invitation, the man walked down, had tears in his eyes, got at the altar. And I got down beside of him, and I said, let me pray with you. And I prayed and asked God to help him and to bless him. Now, mind you, he started coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And then he comes forward crying. And he looked over at me and he said, Pastor, he said, I can't be a Christian and deliver beer to bars. I smiled and I said, praise the Lord. He said, I quit my job Friday. I said, well, God bless you. God will provide you another one. And he smiled from ear to ear and he said, I sure hope so. I said, no, he will. I said, let's pray again. And I prayed and asked God to give him a job. Monday afternoon, my phone rang. Pastor, I got a job and I'm making more money now than what I was making. Amen. Amen. The Lord will provide. You see, there may be a little conflict at the beginning, but you, at his word, that's the key here. Nevertheless, at thy word, folks, find out how the Bible wants you to live. Find out how God wants you to live. It may be that that creates a little conflict with the way you've been living, but hey, let God be true and every man a liar. Coming to Christ is not always easy, and it's not always without distress, but it's always worth it. The net broke, folks. The ship started to sink, but in verse 12 it didn't. They made it to land, and with an abundance of fish, which was used as an object lesson for what the Lord had in mind for each of these men. And he said, fear not, gentlemen. Fear not. A little while ago you caught fish. You come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And folks, the Lord will surely provide. There's a third thing. I've got to hurry. Number three, I want you to notice it is the nearness. It is in the nearness of Jesus that we see our own unworthiness. It is in the nearness of Jesus. When Peter saw what he knew had been done by the very hand of God Almighty, the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, who had instructed and directed every move they made, he cried out to the Lord because of his own sinfulness. Now, what did he mean here when he asked the Lord to depart from him? Well, let me take you to another instance, to another time where the Lord was asked to depart, to leave. If you'll remember, when he was across the Sea of Galilee, he came to a place called Gadara. And there was a man who was possessed of devils in Gadara. And when Jesus passed by, this man came running out of the tombs, out of the graves. And he was screaming like a wild man, scaring everybody to death. And the demons spoke out of this man to the Lord Jesus and said, why are you here? Have you come to torment us before our time? Now, when Jesus confronted these demons, he cast the demons out of that man and sent them into a herd of hogs. Remember that? And you remember the hogs had more sense than the man that they had previously indwelt, in whose body they had been living. And when the demons went out of the man into the hogs, all the hogs ran down the hill and jumped in the Sea of Galilee and drowned. The hogs had more sense than the man had. And when the swine business had been crippled, the men of Gadara came out and confronted Jesus, and they said to him, depart from our coast. You know what they were saying? You need to leave. You need to leave. They were so consumed with their own lives and the dollar, and they could not see the glory of the Lord when it was displayed right in front of them. And so spiritually blind to the truth, they asked the Lord Jesus to depart their coast. And now here is Peter on his face in a boat full of fish, asking the Lord Jesus to depart from him. Is it the same? No. No. Peter's request here is completely different from the men of Gadara. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What is he saying here? He is not saying this because he saw himself as dead in trespasses and sins. Peter was a believer that Jesus was who he claimed to be. He had been following the Lord Jesus from the very first day that he met him. And he cried this because he was awakened to his own unworthiness. Let me say it this way. Peter was overpowered by the Lord's presence. What he saw the Lord do just absolutely blew him away. He understood that Jesus had to be the Son of God. No man could do what this miracle that was just done. It had to be God that did it. He knew the difficulty of catching one fish, and yet with just one cast of the net, there was enough fish to fill two boats. But notice the difference between this request and the request of the Gadarenes. In Gadara, when they asked Jesus to leave, he left. He left. He didn't stand there and argue with them. The Lord will not stay where he is not welcome. But the next day, or the next word out of Peter's, out of Jesus' mouth was to Peter, and he said, Peter, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Now, what does that say to us? I tell you what it says to me. I hope it says this to you. It says to me that God, the Lord, wants to use just old sinners like Peter confessed himself to be. Aren't you glad God uses old sinners? That's what it says to me. That old song, that chorus they sing down south, I am so glad God saves old sinners. That's all he's got to save is just old sinners. I'm glad God uses old sinners because that's all he's got to use around here, just old sinners. I mean, you're looking at one. Hey, don't point your finger at me. You're one too. I mean, the guy that was leading the singing up here a while ago, just a sinner saved by grace. The people over here playing the instruments, just sinners saved by grace. That guy that baptized a while ago, oh, but he's a staff member at the church. Yeah, just an old sinner saved by grace. That's the point, folks. God uses just old sinners. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And the Lord probably smiled and said, you got it, you sure are, but I can use you. If you'll just obey my word. And that's what the Lord showed him. Then number four, I got to hurry on. Number four, get this. Oh, don't miss this one. This one's sweet. These men forsook all and followed Jesus when things were going the absolute best they had ever gone. Now you think about that. They've been out here fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing. Can you imagine them rowing their boats in and the conversation is, man, I sure hope none of our buddies are standing on the shore. We've been out here all night, didn't catch a thing. It's kind of embarrassing when you, hey, did you catch anything? No. Professional fishermen, folks. They've been out there fishing all night, hadn't caught a thing. Not a single fish. And now, here they are coming in mid-morning, and they got so many fish in the boat, the boat's sinking. Now, you can be assured the other fishermen on the shore washing their nets saw them coming and wondering, how are they going to make it in here? Their boats are sinking. They all come and gather on the shore, and they're all laughing and poking, and well, you got a hole in your boat, Peter? And then all of a sudden, they can look down in the boat and see two boats laden with fish. Folks, I'm telling you, they've hit the jackpot. Can you say jackpot in church? Probably wouldn't be wise. They've hit the mother load. It's going better for them right now than it had done in months. They're the envy of all the fishermen on the shore. And they forsook all and they followed him. I got a question. What'd they do with all the fish? I can imagine Peter said, I tell you what, you boys can have those fish. We're going with him. They forsook all. All the fish, all the boats, all the nets. They just left it all, went and followed Jesus. Wow. That is impressive. I love to see people grow, don't you, in the Lord? I love to see people grow. I love to see people come to church, get saved, and get with it. And that takes me back to what I said last week. And that's why I asked you how many of you watch it on the internet. I said last week, why not serve the Lord when you're on top? Why wait until the bottom falls out of your world and you don't have any place else to turn? Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, he'll help you. He'll get you through. But why wait? Serve the Lord now while you've got your health. Serve the Lord now while you've got the energy to serve him. I sat there this morning. I had my alarm set for 6:30. I woke up at 4. I woke up at 4:15. I woke up at 4:30. I griped and complained, go to sleep, go to sleep. And I tried to go to sleep, and then I went to sleep at 6. And then the alarm went off at 6:30. Why can't we have church at 2 in the afternoon? Whoever thought of this 8:30 in the morning church stuff? That's not in the Bible anywhere. Oh, it's awful, isn't it? Why don't we serve the Lord while we're young? While we've got the desire, while we've got the energy, while we've got the wherewithal. Don't wait till you get in your 70s and 80s and then say, well, I'm going to serve the Lord. No, do it now. Do it now. They forsook all and they followed him. Now, of course, it's better to come to Christ and serve him late than never to serve him at all. Don't get me wrong. But oh, that we would just follow him now. Come to him while your nets are full. Come and serve him while life is thriving for you and while your heart is young. You know, still in the Bible, they that seek me early shall find me. I'm so glad I started into the ministry at a young age. I was pastor of my first church. I was 22 years old. Green as grass. Green as grass. I've often said you could have thrown me out in the front yard and I would have taken root. That's how green I was. Seriously. Seriously. I thought I knew everything. I didn't know anything. Made so many mistakes. But I don't regret starting early. And I plan to keep going as long as I'm able. A couple months ago, I was down in Ohio preaching down along the Ohio River. And on Tuesday night, a man came in, a little older than me. And I noticed him when he came in. I looked at him and he looked at me and he nodded and I nodded. And come find out, he had heard me preach several times and we had even met. So I don't remember, but he remembered. And so he nodded. I nodded back. During the invitation, man came down the aisle, tears in his eyes. When he got down to the front, he motioned like this for me to come. So I stepped around the pulpit and went down to see him. And when I got up to him, I could see that he was worn and kind of grizzled, kind of rough. And I said, what can I do for you? And he said, do you remember me? And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. And he told me who he was, and I still didn't remember. I said, well, sir, I'm sorry, but I meet a lot of people. And he said, that's all right. He said, you may remember that about 30 years ago, I pastored a church in the area. He said, Glenn Matthews came and did a tent revival for the region. Our church was one of the sponsoring churches. And Glenn had a kidney stone and could not come, and he called you and you came and preached the last two nights of the meeting. I said, well, now I do remember that. And he said, well, I was one of the sponsoring pastors, and my church was one of the sponsoring churches. I said, oh, okay. And so I said, what can I do for you? And he said, preacher, he said, shortly after that meeting, I quit the ministry. I said, well, why did you quit? And he said, I had people turn on me, and I never got over it. And I went, oh, like that. He said, have you ever had anybody turn on you? And I said, no, that's never happened to me. No. I said, of course I've had people turn on me. He said, but you didn't quit, did you? I said, no, I've wanted to, but I just never did. And he started to weep. He said, preacher, do you think that the Lord would take me back? Do you think he'd give me another chance in the ministry? And I said, well, sir, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Once God calls you, he doesn't change his mind. So let's get on our knees here and let's ask the Lord for his help. Folks, the point is, that man stood broken. Now he's an old man. He doesn't have the energy he once had. He doesn't have the spark he once had. He doesn't have the fire he once had. He doesn't have the knowledge that he should have had. All those wasted years. I mean, it's, you know, it better late than never. But hey, let's start 2014 launching out into the deep.